All right, so we're taking a look at communicating with God. And I tell you, the reason that I have us looking at this now, this passage of scripture, is because I want us to allow ourselves to really develop a mindset for approaching God that is pleasing to God. Now, notice now, one of the points that I'm trying to get across to you is, who's in charge? Who is in charge? Who is in charge in this world? Who is truly in charge? Is it us? We're on this earth. And hey, if we're born again, oh yeah, we got to be calling the shots, right? Even when it comes to God, right? We pray, and prayer is what changes things. We're the ones who pray, so we're the ones in charge, right? Therefore, Hebrews 4:1, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. Think about this, ladies and gentlemen. The promise of entering his rest. If that had to do simply with entering the land of Canaan, the promised land that is on this earth, you got to ask yourself the question, how many born again believers are going to enter that land to live there? Because that was what's supposed to be happening. That was supposed to be happening with the Israelites long ago in Moses' time and Joshua's time. They moved there, they located there to live there. Not for a 2-week visit or even a 3-month visit. They were going there to take possession of the land, to live in the land, live on that land. Since the promise of entering that rest still stands, that was written thousands of years, at least hundreds and hundreds of years after the original Israelites who were 20 and up blew it and lost their opportunity, lost their chance to move into that land and live there. Hundreds and hundreds of years later, God, the Holy Spirit, had the writer of Hebrews point out that the promise of entering that rest, God's rest, still stands. Does that mean that all the born-again believers in America and all the born-again believers in Mexico and all the born-again believers in Nigeria and all the born-again believers in Botswana and all the born-again believers in UK and all the born-again believers all over the world who have absolutely no intentions of ever moving to that part of the country where God promised that land to his people. Does that mean then that we will never enter his rest? Since the promise of entering his rest, doesn't say since the promise of entering that land still stands, God, the Spirit, had the writer of Hebrews say, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us just as they did. This news about God giving them power to take possession of that land and live forever in his presence in that land, the promised land, was the gospel. But the message they heard was of no value to them because those who heard did not combine it with faith. Now we who have believed enter that rest. We who have believed enter that rest. Doesn't say we who have believed enter that land. It says we who have believed enter that rest. How many of us believe but have never entered that land? But yet the Bible says we have entered that rest. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said, so I declared on oath in my anger that they shall never enter my rest. Going back now to those who refuse to believe and who refuse to follow God, and as a result, were shut out of his rest. And yet his work has been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words. And on the seventh day, God rested from all his work. And again, in the passage above, he says, they shall never enter my rest. God, in speaking about works, his work, rested from all his work on the seventh day. Rested from all his work. But says, in reference to those who refuse to believe, they shall never enter my rest. It still remains that some will enter that rest. And those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience. So at this point, I want to share something with you again that I've shared with you in the past. It is critical that we understand that faith and obedience go together. True faith in God motivates us to obey God. Believing in God the way the Bible talks about belief in God brings with it obedience to God. Faith in God connects with obedience to God. He was talking about their unbelief, and he said how that kept them out. And now he's saying in verse 6, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 6, it still remains that some will enter that rest, and those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their unbelief. No, in this verse he says because of their disobedience. Therefore, God again set a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later he spoke through David, as was said before. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. There are some who hardened their hearts, and they paid a price. They hardened their hearts, and God let their hearts remain hard, and he shut them out of his rest. And he let it be known, they will never enter my rest. Who's in charge? Oh, yeah, we can go about the business of doing what we want to do no matter what, pursuing people no matter what, tampering with people's automobiles no matter what, working to invade people's privacy no matter what God says, being ugly for no reason, just because we can be. And God is making it clear, I'm displeased with this. You better get your act together. And we can go ahead and say, no, this is my life. I'm going to go ahead and do what I want to do, no matter what you say. Yeah, we're convinced that we're calling the shots when it comes to how we live our lives. And then one day, God puts us on notice. One way or another, you'll never have another chance to enter into my rest. Now, there may be some temporal promises that he had set aside for some things he was going to do for us in this temporary phase of life that has to do with the material world. Another house, another car, any number of things. And he reserves the right to change his mind when we put him on notice that we are going to live a life of disobedience. A husband, a wife, he reserves the right to change his mind because of our disobedience. And although it is his will that none of us perish, he has the right to change his mind about providing eternal life to us when we make it clear to him that we are going to live lives of disobedience.